Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're our God. You've got all kinds of grace and mercy, and you help us to go along and do the things that you want us to do. Lead us and guide us throughout the day to teach us what to say and what to do. And you give us great discernment in the instances where we need it. You've got all the things available for us, Lord, if we just tap in. And Father, I thank you that all of us are tapping in. And I thank you for it, Lord, that we get close to you every morning when we get up. And during the day, as we go about the things that you have us to do, or we have to do. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for your leading tonight as well, that you would lead each and every one of us to do and to say the things that you'd have us to say. Father, I just thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night. In the name of Jesus. And I ask, Father, that you bless everybody here with your glory. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for this open heaven that you've given us, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I want to pray. I've been talking to Blake and my grandson and his little girlfriend. He had an incident that happened. It's the strangest thing. But anyway, I just want to pray for him. Lord, I lift up my grandson, Blake. I thank you, Father, for this young lady that he's with. She's so on fire for you, Lord. She wants all that you have. And Lord, I know that you'll give her all that she can receive. And I praise you for it, Father. And I ask and I pray, Lord, right now that she would be instrumental in bringing repentance and great running back to you, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I ask, Father, that you grant repentance to Blake. And bring him back in a mighty way. And I thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer about keeping him alive through all of this stuff that he went through this weekend. And Lord, I thank you for getting the truth out to me about what did happen. And I just praise you, Father, for your mercy and your grace upon Blake to let the authorities have favor with Blake because of the situation. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you put Jennifer there with him to verify the things that he's told me and to verify the things that the doctors did too. And I praise you, Father. She's got the medical records and all, and I praise you, Lord, that this is going to be a turning point in Blake's life, a turning point, a great turning point. And I believe it, Lord, a pivot point for him to come back from the devil's ways to your ways, Lord. And I praise you for it. And I thank you for it, Father, because you're going to get the glory. I know that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Father. Amen and amen. Okay, Lana.
Hi, everyone.
What happened?
Hi, everybody. Sorry. I stuck the phone in my pocket and it muted me. I just wanted to share. I'm multitasking here with Gabe, but I wanted to share a quick praise report. So yesterday, out of the blue, little Maximus woke up with a raging fever and it kept him down most of the day. And so we, as per usual, by the grace of God, started praying and casting it down and enduring in our faith as the fever kind of went up and down. And he was also hallucinating too. And I kept casting it down because that's no longer a curse we live under in this household. And kept casting down the fear of whatever might be going around and the stuff they've been seeing in the news about these things. And would you know it, this morning, he was up so bright and early, and he busts into our bedroom where Fio and I were sound asleep, very tired. And he's like, "Dad, it is morning. It's daylight outside, and you need to get out of bed." He was so full of energy, and he's just been nonstop all day. So we are so grateful and praising the Lord for such a quick turnaround and the grace to endure in our faith and not give in to the fears that were trying to come up upon me and my husband. So praise the Lord for all of that. And while I have the mic, I also wanted to ask for prayer for our neighbor, Julie. There goes the mute button again. For our neighbor, Julia, we've been able to spend a bit of time outside with her because she lives right down the street now that it's nice and warm out, and also have a lot of discussions about the Word of God and healing and things like that. She came to the Lord about 5 years ago, and she very strongly believes that the Lord's going to heal her. She lives in a wheelchair. And I just wanted to lift her up. So Father God, I thank you so much for our dear neighbor, Julia, and the heart that you've given her, the salvation that you have opened to her and are manifesting in her. Father God, I just lift her up to your mighty throne of grace. And thank you for bringing her into the kingdom, for giving her the faith to stand on your promises of healing for her body, Father God. And thank you for the revelations you've been giving to her, the open heart to receive the word, the true gospel, the questions. And she just receives these discussions with so much joy. I'm sometimes at a loss for words because I'm just not used to seeing people being so receptive to the little bit we have to share about our own faith, Father God. So I thank you for growing this in her and for Father God, bringing her into this fellowship. We've told her about it. We've shared it with her, and whatever is holding her back from being able to join, I bind it up in the name of Jesus and command those hindrances to be gone. And we thank you, Father, for our dear sister, Julia, in Christ, and we bless her in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We put our faith together with Lana. We believe it so. Come on in here, girl. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As a matter of fact, Lana, I want to pray for Blake's girlfriend, Jennifer, that she come in here too. I believe she will. I believe she will end up in here because she's on fire. Lord, I just lift up Jennifer to you. Lord, she's got a, I don't know what kind of background, but she's not filled with your Holy Spirit yet, but she actually wants to. And I texted her today and talked with her on the text and told her about the Holy Spirit. She thought it was a baptism of water, but I told her, no, it's a separate baptism. Anyway, we went through that whole thing there for a little bit. And she said, yes, I want that. You know, I said, all right, then, praise God. That's what we're going to do. But anyway, go ahead, Geneva.
Hi, everybody. I just want to say a prayer. It's been on my heart. You know, I'm sure you all have seen or heard about the formula shortage for all these babies. And as a new mom, I don't know, it just kind of breaks my heart to think about babies, you know, not being fed. So I just want to say a prayer and you all come into agreement with me. Dear Lord, Father, I just ask God that you be with this situation, Lord, and all these mamas out there, Lord, give them direction, Father, give them wisdom, show them what to do as far as this goes with formula, breastfeeding, all of that stuff. God, ask, Lord, that you bring their supply back, Lord. Father, I ask too, Jesus, that these babies that you you make their tummies full, Lord, and Father, help them to be satisfied and be happy and grow. And Jesus, I just thank you, God, for putting your hand over this situation, Lord. I don't really know what's going on here, but I know that you do, and I know you're before it, God. And Lord, you see the end from the beginning, and I just ask, Father, that you be with all these families and help these mamas, God, help them to let this be a time, Father, that they get to see your miracles, Lord, and what you can do. And God, I just ask, Father, that you just bless these babies, God. And I know, Lord, that you're going to take care of the situation. And I thank you, Jesus, for all the babies on here and on UBM that are well fed and so loved, Jesus. And God, we're so blessed, Father, that you have blessed our children, Lord. And that, God, they're children of you. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you do the same for all the rest of these children out here. And thank you, Lord. I also want to just real quick, just I'm going to go in and thank the Lord, because it's going to happen, that Morgan is going to be blessed with that perfect job in Jesus' name, just like I was, you know, at the time that we prayed for me way back when, that, you know, Lord, get me out of the hospital and get me a better job. And he did. And so I just thank God now in advance that that Morgan, that job is right around the corner, just like the house when we said a prayer and Michael said it's going to happen soon, and then we end up finding a place very soon. I don't know if you were, I don't think you were on here that time, Michael, but yeah, we ended up finding a house with a bathtub, praise the Lord. And
okay, bathtubs are good.
They are good, especially if you want to be clean, so you know.
That's right.
Absolutely. But anyways, so the Lord did that, and I know he's going to just continue to bless us, and I'm just going to thank him, and you're going to have testimony soon.
Amen. We believe it. We believe it. Morgan, go get it. He's coming. In Jesus' name. So get ready to stay home with your babies. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, we have a prayer request. Our daughter and our son-in-law live with us, and that works out really well. They're really a blessing to us, and it's a blessing to them to be here with us. And so anyway, we're pretty tight-knit little family. But my son-in-law got news today. His dad passed away suddenly this morning, and he has taken it really hard. And my daughter too. My daughter had a really good relationship with the in-laws, and you know, has known them for 12 years. So anyway, Father, I lift Casey up to the throne of grace, and Jenny, and also Tammy, Casey's mom, and his brother Tim, and all those that knew Scott and loved him. Father, this was just quite a shock, and just very, very devastating. Father, what I see the most with Casey is a bind up the spirits of sorrow, grief, regret, condemnation. Just so much heaviness, Father. So much heaviness. And you see it and you know it. And Father, I know that Scott was a believer. And Father, just as I pray for household salvation for my own family, I've prayed for Casey's family as well, because Casey's our son-in-law, and actually more like a son to us, the son we never had. And we have prayed for the salvation of his family. So, Father, we're believing that Scott's in heaven. And I pray you'd give the family members revelation and comfort from that. Father, I'm even bold to ask that you will give dreams and visions of that to those that need it. And Father, we trust and believe the word. The word says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. And Jesus does all things well. And Father, you and Jesus are one, so you do all things well as well. You know everything, you see everything, you weren't surprised in any of this. And so, Father, I'm just thanking you for your mercy and your grace. And I pray, Father, that you give Casey grace and wisdom. This grace and wisdom about things that need to be done and not being too distracted with this and being able to get over to Montana when they choose, whenever the funeral or memorial service is, and that you just comfort him along the way, Father. And and grant Barry and I grace as well, Father, about what to say or just not to say. And Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. We put our faith together with Marilyn and Barry. We thank you, Father, for taking the grief away and just rejoicing that their dad is up there in heaven. That we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yes, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Missy sent me something. A little bit earlier. You think I ought to read that, Missy? She says, yeah. Okay, then I'm not going to read it to you. We'll read it. This is from Mark Taylor. And this is a judgment prophecy that God gave him back in January of this year. It says, many false prophets and pastors are prophesying judgment in 2022. Do you not realize they are prophesying their own doom? The very things they are prophesying, they are guilty of. The sins of these false pastors and prophets are great. The bowls of sin are overflowing for these corrupt leaders who have been fornicating with the whore of Babylon long enough. The sand has run out of the hourglass, and my judgment has begun for those that are drunk from her wine. The blood of the saints and my true prophets. Those that have enjoyed her delicacies have truly received their reward. For I will pour out my judgment on everything that is corrupt. I will start at the top of their pyramid, the leadership that has led my people astray. The infiltration from the enemy is catastrophic. Everything has been infiltrated and corrupted. Seminaries, churches, and the people that have been led astray. The wickedness of these false prophets and pastors has become a stench under my nostrils. They have turned my houses of worship into a marketplace and a den of money-changing thieves, you vipers. I paid the ultimate price on the cross for all of humanity through my pain, suffering, and shed blood. Did I charge money for that? No. Woe, woe, woe to you money-changing vipers. I already paid the price, so my gospel is free. My gospel was never to be prostituted for money, big fancy homes, and cars. Repent. The Spirit of God says the deep state church is plotting and planning in their secret chambers. They are trying to prevent their coming exposure of their great deception of death against the people and the Illuminati equation. Why are you blindly following these corrupt leaders who seek glory from men and don't give glory to me? Why are you not using discernment? You have no discernment or spiritual senses because you are drunk from the enemy's wine. For they plot and plan against you with their next money and influence scheme. all the while making you a slave to them, their system, and their old religious order. I, the Lord God, came to set the captives free through relationship, not religion, to free the oppressed and to give you your sovereignty back. Through their schemes, they are assisting in ushering in the new world order, the Antichrist spirit, and a one world religion under the guise of unity. And it will be a false unity under the enemy's triune. You have turned these leaders into idols before me. You support their corruption and further their demonic plan. Therefore, you are complicit in their wickedness. Repent. The Spirit of God says the system, I, the Lord God, will crash the religious system that so many for thousands of years have tried to protect. I have sent many warnings to come out of her by many of my servants, my true prophets, only to have them ignored, attacked, harmed, or murdered. Their innocent blood cries out to me, and I will avenge them. Do you not realize that under this system, 501c3, you are under a curse? You took a bribe for the slaying of my innocent, my little ones. You have denied my kingdom for the enemies. And now my judgment is on the religious system and its leaders. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of my throne. They are trying to protect the old religious order, but I, the Lord God, shall expose it and destroy it. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah moment. Come out of her now, for my judgment has begun. Do not look back as Lot's wife did, for I will destroy the very system the apostate church has become and fornicated with. So as it was for Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be for the whore and the old religious order that has fornicated and protected her and led my people astray. Some churches, ministries, lodges, orders, and their man-made kingdoms will burn to the ground. Others will go bankrupt. Some leaders will be removed from the face of the earth. Why aren't they listening? Because pride has handed them over to a reprobate mind. Being handed over to a reprobate mind is part of the judgment. Their arrogance knows no bounds. Repentance will save your soul, but it will not stop my justice from being served. Some will say this is an attack on Christianity. No, this is my judgment on the corrupt system that man put in place, not I. The Lord God. The Spirit of God says, read the signs, read the signs. The false prophets are no longer hiding their true intentions. For the clash between the spirit of Elijah and the prophets of Baal are at the crescendo. They will call on their God, and my true prophets will call on theirs. And you shall see who the one true God is. Their God is Baal, Moloch, and Mammon. But I, the Lord God, will show myself strong and mighty, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord shall fall on the people. The Spirit of God says, woe, woe, woe to you false prophets and pastors that have led my people astray. Do you think I don't see what you do in your inner chambers, abusing and sacrificing my little ones? Do you think I don't see it at all? Woe to you hypocrites, for you are whitewashed tombs. It would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea. Woe, woe, woe to you false prophets and pastors that are witches and warlocks, calling down death curses on my true pastors and prophets. Therefore, if you do not repent, you take one of mine, I will take 100 of yours. You take 100 of mine, I'll take 1,000 of yours. Repent. And it quotes Exodus 22 and 18. The Spirit of God says, do not fear my people when you see these things, for they must come to pass. I will split the old religious order wide open for all to see the lies that have been perpetuated and against all of humanity and my people. Then the lost books and scrolls shall be opened and my truth shall be set free. I will establish my kingdom on the earth with my remnant ecclesia. The transfer of wealth and assets will be transferred from the wicked, the system, and will be transferred to my kingdom remnant. Praise God. Then my gospel, which is free, will begin to spread through home groups, the highways and byways, street corners and open fields. My true gospel will flow with freedom to the ends of the earth. Rejoice, for I am establishing the foundation of my throne on earth as it is in heaven, for my righteousness and justice shall reign. Praise God forevermore. Lord, we've been waiting for this for some time. And we thank you, Father, that it's going to be a lot of people come out of those apostate religions and come running to you, Father, as they see these things being brought down. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody got any comments? I'd like to pray. Yeah, Greg.
Just a question, Michael, if I may. Sorry, who was that?
Mark Taylor.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Missy, would you want to put the link on the chat? Can you do that? Okay, thank you. Has anybody got any comments? Are you dumbstruck? I'm just asking. Go ahead, Patrick or Pat.
No, I'm not dumbstruck. Believe it or not, the Lord has been. I've been looking into the, for whatever reason, the different security levels of our government, and. Relating that to some questions related to things that are happening, obviously, in the whole information war that we're in right now. And then trying to apply that over into God's kingdom.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes.
Your audio is messing up when you turn your head, raise your head. As long as you keep it right straight, it's fine. But as for some reason, you're losing it. I don't know if you're just not close enough or not. I don't know.
I've been using AirPods. How about now?
No, it's still. Yeah. Really? It's just. Yes. Yeah,
here, let me.
It's kind of like you're going from loud to low.
Can you hear me?
Loud to, yeah.
Is it good now?
Yes. Yes.
Or is it still okay? I just lost the earbuds.
Okay.
Yeah. So, not to get off on that, but just that prophecy. Because my last question to the Lord was, why do God's people, I'm sorry, let me back up. The devil has created a narrative for God's people, but he just didn't do it yesterday. He created a whole system, right? Starting from the time of Christ and the apostles those that fell away and went out, you know, distorted the gospel, and that whole thing has grown for the last 2,000 years. So I was, you know, asking the Lord, why is it that people turn away? They don't want to hear the truth. I mean, it's a normal phenomenon that it just it ha- is happened in my observation, if even just the events of 9/11, 2001 in the Twin Towers, and how people just closed off and accepted a particular line of pablum that was fed to them so that they could, and I don't know if it is fear or training or exactly what it is that people will not, and I think it is fear, but that they will not question a certain narrative that is coming at them if it doesn't sound quite right, if the logistics of it doesn't sound right. But if somebody in authority or somebody tells them, yes, this is true, this is not true, they believe it. They choose to believe it because let's just take the example of 9/11. Many people avoided that subject because of what it meant. You know, if this is true, if those buildings fell because of controlled demolition, that means we're not in control. That means that our government or whatever it is, it means that there's some other thing that is in control and guiding our path, so to speak. It means that something is not right. And that, just that potential awareness of that is such a fearful contemplation. If you are not, and if you're trusting in that existing structure, you can't, your mind just will, you'll avoid it and you'll move on to that which is acceptable to you, and you'll accept that and I guess just bury your head in the sand and become comfortably numb with the rest of society. So I think that, you know, that is where the organized church and religion is at right now. Obviously, same scenario. What is the fear? And I'm praying that the Lord starts to number one, He's given us the tools to bind that fear and to restrain that within people and to start to put in the truth. But that, you know, that for whatever reason, I know in my struggles over this situation, it seems to come back. It seems to come back, and I'm looking for that foundation of the deception, which allows fear to continue to rest in people's lives. And I'm just seeing that as the key to salvation, the key to revival or whatever it is. I'm not quite sure, you know, how to bat it, how to take care of it at this point, other than just pray and continue to seek God for the truth and the wisdom and deliverance for those that are bound by this situation. But I know it's all got to go back to the point where people are somehow willing in themselves to face their own fear and investigate something other than what is being fed them through the standard procedure. And I just look at, you know, the people in organized religion have simply grown into this whole facade of going every Sunday and, you know, passing the plate and handing my money in and plugging in and receiving, you know, my 30 minutes of the word and feeling good with everything and going on with my life as nothing ever happened. And somehow that whole structure has got to cease in its existence. So I don't know. I just see, you know, this prophecy is just another thing in the long list of prophets that are shouting at this country right now. So I don't know what the answer is immediately. Anyway, that's it.
Well, people are most, for the most part, naturally lazy when it comes to the gospel. And they want to believe the things that they hear from the pulpit because they are experts at it. You know, they've got PhD or they got this or they got that behind their name. And well, he's got to know the gospel because he's got all that numbers behind him, not knowing that these people are taught by non-believers that are taught by non-believers that are taught by non-believers all the way down the line. And then that's what happens. They get caught up in it, and they're comfortable in their sins when they go to these once saved, always saved churches, sinners saved by grace, all of those kind of churches. And as most of them are like that, and they feel comfortable in them, God's fixing to shake them. It looks like, well, I know he is. Told us he is. So that's just my thoughts on it, what I've seen over the years. I've had preachers tell me that the Holy Spirit was just not their ministry. Believe it or not. Yeah. Right to my face, as I was a new Christian too. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, to tack on to what you said, yes, they're comfortable in where they're at. They don't want to give up the world. They don't want to give up the flesh. They don't want to read the word because it'll make them responsible. And, you know, I don't know how many times, and it's not a huge amount of times, but there's a couple distinct times I can remember myself, you know, being young in the Lord, being told something that was contrary to the word and thinking, okay, this person is older in the Lord than me. Maybe there's something I don't understand as to why they're telling me something contrary to what I thought was in the word. And I've had to repent because I put them higher than God's word. You know, and people got to understand that what man says isn't the standard, what God's word says is the standard. And so, yeah, I mean, it's the respect for the word is not there. And people, God's people are not really taught to really read the word and really get into it for themselves. So
that's okay. Amen. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that my experience, I don't know, in the church was a little bit different. I felt like they really were seeking after the Lord. They didn't have the truth. It was a Baptist church, but they had a desire. I mean, I still feel like they really want to know, but they're so sure that they know the truth that I don't know, they can't get away from it, but they really did have a heart to want it. So, and it was just not granted to them at this point. Like, I don't know, like, it's just like somebody that's unsaved, it's not granted, salvation isn't granted to them yet. But I just, you know, we're just blessed that the Lord has brought us out and he will bring them out in their time. But it wasn't that I mean, they were honestly, I still feel like they were honestly wanting to know. They just couldn't get out of what they already believed. That's all.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg. Thank you, Ben. Nita.
There's a story I was told, and I think this illustration will help. In the end of the Second World War, the unfortunates who were in the concentration camp woke up one morning, and the guards were gone. The gates were swinging, and they, and I don't know if this is a true story or not, but this is how the story is told, and they. They kind of realized that they were gone, and they ran out the gates from down the road going, "We're free, we're free." And then, they were free, and then they stopped. And they turned around and walked back to where they were back in the camp and just waited for someone else to come and take care of them. I think the illustration is that us as human beings kind of follow the law of momentum. Will follow on a course and won't change that because of that's the course, or we'll stay in one place because until something occurs to us. Now, in my experience, I have been in churchianity, I don't disdain the experience because I learned a lot of things in there, but there came a point of time when, this is how I describe it, is that God moved me or promoted me from the church to the ecclesia. With the people that are in there, I would have to say, and whether you're talking about things like 9/11 or whatever else, people, they want things to stay the same until the Lord goes. He's the only one who can change people around in hearts and minds and take the blinkers off, etc., including with any of those who are pulpits or whatever else, who may or may not be thinking they're doing the right thing. So I would exhort, look, thank you for the link to that prophecy or that word, that we need to pray for these people that the Lord would open their eyes, and if there's repentance needed, particularly from people who are in pulpits, then that's the gift of God. And those of us who, the Lord has done that for already, by his good grace, we just need to be ready. And he asked the Lord to have us ready to receive them. That's my two bobs worth, or 2 cents worth.
Amen.
As you want
to... Amen. Yep. That's pretty much it. If you talk to people in the religious world about the true gospel, they'll look at you like a deer in the headlight. They don't understand what you're saying when you say you have to bear the fruit of Christ in order to get to heaven, 30, 60, or 100-fold. Well, what does that mean? I said, it means you got to walk in the steps of Jesus. And they don't understand that. They haven't been taught. And that's why God is fixing to bring judgment out. He's going to make it to where they'll want to find out themselves and get in the word of God themselves. Remember what the prophecy said, that they're going to come running to the true gospel, to the ministers that are giving the gospel out, the true gospel out. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. That's that God has shown us that through dreams and visions and things like that. The angels will direct their paths to go to where the truth is being taught all over this world. Because of this apostate religion a lot of it is prosperity. And that is an abomination in God's eyes. It's prosperity gospel, where the minister gets the biggest cut of the pie, It's just silliness. How many jet airplanes can you own, that means that I am God's chosen because I have all these airplanes, these jet airplanes. I have all this money now. I mean, we've got pastors that have made billions off of God's people. And God's sick of it. He's sick of it. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yep, you're right. Me and Mariana, we come from that background. We're at this big, big mega church we used to go to, and it's like TBN church, right? And this was like the heat of the whole prosperity movement. And, you know, I fell into it. And I always felt in my heart that something ain't right, but I don't know anything. This is a truth and I can't receive it. And the truth is, it's hard to receive. So that's gotta be it. But you know, I wasn't the only one that was thinking that. And I'll see why. And I was thinking about this when Missy and Greg and you were talking. I remember the pastor would be talking and he'd be going on about prosperity because these guys, they had multiple jets. We had one guy, they just gave him a Corvette, right? And the bigger seed you sowed, the better prophecy you'd get. I watched a guy do that whose wife had cancer. And he said, basically paraphrasing here, sow a seed, reap a harvest, and they throw it at you. Now, but let me, I want to get through this. I don't want to bash nobody. That's why I ain't saying names. So I seen a guy, his wife had cancer, and he gave him $10,000, road check, $10,000. So he got a prophecy. But if you couldn't write that check, you weren't going to get one, right? And they get consumed. And I remember, here's something I've seen that I just remember so vividly. They'd be praying, or they'd be preaching on the whole prosperity, money, money, money. I mean, it was constant. And then they would stop, and they would look at the crowd and say, if something in your heart's convicting you, that's a spirit of religion. Cast it down. And they would get everybody like that. Well, if you feel something wrong, it's got to be you because it can't be me. And that's how it was. And, you know, thank God. Just thank God he got me out of that. I would have never, me on my own, I would have never got out of it. You know, they do the thing where they praise, you know, slow music. So you get there, they praise the fast music. Everybody's jumping up and down and real hype and woo. Then they go to slow music. And everybody starts to cry and repent for their week. They raise their hands. And everybody's closing their hands. He goes, everybody raise their hands. Everybody raise their hands. Now reach down and grab a. They get you every time. Well, they have it fine-tuned. But I said all that to get to this, right? Because my heart goes out to a lot of them people. Matter of fact, I told you way back where my in-laws, you know, they've been in that their whole lives. But, you know, they are pretty diligent, though, too, at the same time. And you know, they may not know better. And it's not my job to put on them until they're ready. But the Lord gave me a dream about 2 weeks ago that me and my father-in-law were actually talking. And he was wanting to know more about this truth. Like, something's not right in the church system, right? So here's what I got to say. In Luke 18:14. And me and Pat were talking about this, Luke 18:14. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humble himself shall be exalted. Man, that's kind of like full circle right here. You know, well, even though times are getting tougher, it's still plentiful at the moment, right? I can go to Chinese buffet. If you can go to Chinese buffet, things are good. So you can go and do that. And the thing is, you can go to the grocery store. Well, I'm justified by my works in the church because I can write my check out, do whatever. There's a humbling moment coming. And this is what the Lord showed me. There's going to be a time where there's not going to be the funds in these things for these people to be justified no more. I can't write you 10%. I can't do this. Right. Then they're going to be humbled and then they're going to be exalted again because they're going to be willing to be, they're going to know they can't be justified by works and there's nothing these people can do. And that's where God's bringing a lot of people to bring them out. And that's what the Lord showed me. And it may seem hard, but it is for their best benefit. And it happened to me, thank God. And it happened for you all. But that was just something the Lord was showing me. Because when Barry gave that thing on work, man, that one just set with me. And I really thought on it for a long time. And Luke 18 is so good. I'll leave it alone. But that one's, you can read a lot about works in there, but yeah, you know, for whatever it's worth.
Amen. That's so true. Well, Lord, I just thank you for your chosen, your elect that are in these places. That when the shaking comes, it's going to shake them loose from that religion, a religious spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you just like Greg or somebody, whoever it was, that was praying, that we're ready to receive them in a gracious grace, with a lot of grace and discernment. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that many of them are going to come to be great, mighty women and men of God because of it, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that your people will have the wisdom, discernment, and the leading of the Holy Spirit to say the things that you would have your people to talk to these people about that would capture them in the moment. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. We thank you, Lord, that your people are going to go out with signs and wonders following them. And they're going to notice it. They're going to jump on it. And we just praise you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, we thank you that the money that's laid up for the wicked is coming to the true men and women of God. And we thank you for it, just like you did in the wilderness, Lord. And we praise you for it. The gospel is going to go forth throughout the whole world during this time. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Does anybody else want to pray? Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I'd like to read a verse because I asked the Lord to about this whole D class and all this sort of stuff that's happening right now, and ask him to give me a verse related, because I don't understand why I'm going down this vein or this path. You know, just want to make sure it's not mine. But I ask him to give me a verse. And he gave me Philippians 2:8. And kind of keys in on what Isaac was saying. And I'd like to read it in context, but I'm just going to read the verse to see where we end up. And it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient." I'm sorry. He gave me chapter 2, verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so I want to go back and read it from the beginning. Have this mind in you, verse 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore, also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name, and that in the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And when I was reading that, I started thinking about having this mind, which was in Christ, in us, that mind of humility. And I'll let everybody read to their own what they want to read. But I just, I was thinking of the fact that that name of Jesus is in us, that he has given us the name of Jesus. And so that connection in us, and reading it in the context of those verses, has got my mind just kind of thinking basically that, I'm going to let it sit at that. I just wanted to read that. But one thing that hit me is that Jesus never attacked. Well, I won't say he never attacked directly. He didn't go out to attack the system. He went out to preach the gospel and demonstrate the healing and casting out of demons and whatnot. And of course, that threatened the existing structure and the existing system and those that were ministers of that exact system came and attacked him and came and attacked those that were following him and attacked his word. And he defended those that God was pulling out of that system. But, and so I just encourage us just to consider that in that we, so that we don't focus our attention on the wrong thing as far as the structure that is intact that we are find ourselves battling against. Because to go out and I go back to that my former thought that I had related to this fear. If we go out attacking or say blaming or trying to point out the evil of a structure, realize that that's the only structure that many of these people are trusting in. And so to go out and attack that structure and tear it down and whatnot is creating more fear in those that are trusting in that structure. Yeah, rather, I think it's taking Jesus' example is to preach the gospel, set the captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead, etc., and they will be attracted to the gospel and attracted to Jesus, and they will leave that structure eventually. Anyway, that was just kind of my thought.
Amen. That's what the Lord did to get people's attention, signs and wonders. Brings them in. You draw a crowd when you do that. When you draw a crowd, you can preach the gospel to them because they know it's true. All right, anyone else? I got a message from Terry. Y'all remember Terry? She comes on occasionally. She said, I will listen on the recording later, but I would like to request any advice, prayer, encouragement, or whatever. My niece, 20 years old, supposedly a believer, had a manic episode at my son's wedding, not during the wedding, and was taken to the hospital. Jeff and I cast it out, but it's still manifesting 3 days later. Thanks, Terry. Well, how many of you know when we cast it out, it's got to go? All of you know that. Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Terry's niece. We take authority over this demonic entity called Manic. And we command you by the power and the blood of Jesus to leave her now in Jesus' name. You go from her, and I command you not to come back in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that Terry is going to know that her niece is delivered of this manic demon. But she needs to let her know that she needs to get in the Word, fill that clean room up with the Lord's Word. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that she is on the road to running after you, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got any words of wisdom for her? All right. It's done. Y'all believe it? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you for it, Father. Go ahead, Greg.
I don't know about words of wisdom, but I can fake it. But no, let me just, I just wanted to pray a little bit more on that. Yeah, if I may.
Yes,
Lord, bless you. Bless you, Lord. And I give you thanks and glory that Terry and her husband, was it, have the good sense to recognize what this is and to bring it to a matter of deliverance. And I acknowledge your word, which says that we will trample on the works of the devils, that we will cast out demons. And this thing is subject to what your believers, your people in your name direct it to do. I want to pray for this niece, Lord, that you would grant her quick insight into your word and the authority that even she can declare over these things. Because, you know, as we know, they assail us often. I tend to think that's really just a training run for us. So, Lord, grow her. And, yes, I agree with what has been said, that this thing goes. And that she is not bound to it or bound to the health system in any form by it. If there's anything that gives it license, Lord, then I ask that it be brought up so that it can be renounced, because your salvation is absolutely, utterly complete. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing this for Terry and Jeff's niece. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that she is going to repent and come in and fill that room up with your Spirit and the Word, Lord. And we praise you for doing that for her. In Jesus' name, helping her do it. Lord, lead her through it. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Does anybody got any questions or any comments if they'd something they'd like to talk about? Yes, Vanita. I guess you were first. I don't know. I was looking away. Y'all got in about the same time.
Oh, well, somebody else. I mean, mine's not like urgent or anything. If somebody else wants to go, I don't know.
You got the mic. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering, I don't know if anybody has any insight on this, but just coming from the Baptist church, You know, they always talk about Calvinism and the 5 points of Calvinism, the tulip. And I don't know if, like in the Baptist church, they, you know, we were all 5 point Calvinists. We all believed in all points of the tulip. And so I didn't know if, I guess I started to read through them, and now understanding what I understand now, try to understand if I was still a 5 point Calvinist or not, but I was getting a little lost in the whole thing. So I just was wondering if anybody had any input or insight into that. Might be a big topic because there's 5 points.
What's the 5 points of a tulip? What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. So
I never heard of this one. Now, come on.
Okay. So like the first one is, and I probably need to look it up because I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was T stands for total depravity. U stands for, I got to look it up now. I can't even remember.
That's okay. So it's some kind of a formula they got.
It's an acronym. It's an acronym. Yeah.
Okay.
And I know I've heard David talk about Calvin and his teachings, and that the sense that I got was that he did agree with most of what he taught, but that the church had kind of twisted it or whatever, maybe, so they're not teaching true Calvinism. Maybe, I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. So like, okay, I just pulled it up. The 5 points of tulip or 5 points of Calvinism are total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. So there's a lot that goes into each of those to explain them, but I don't know. It's just didn't know if anybody had heard those.
5 point Calvinism. Okay. Well, I'm a little bit familiar with Calvin, but not to that point. Anybody in here yet? Got something they'd like to say about that? Because I don't know that much about it. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I went through the process, but I have to admit, with all those little, you know, analogies or whatever you call them. They had the Romans road and the John this and the whatever. And there was, I got the feeling that I was trying to, and I didn't do this, unfortunately. I was kind of focused on a different thing, but it was kind of a repetition of, It was one of those things of, this is what we believe, A, B, C, D, E. This is what we believe. And I never quite got a handle on the we believe stuff. So unfortunately, I kind of just ignored it all, or maybe fortunately, I don't know what it was, but ignored it all. And start reading my Bible and trying to, you know, the best thing I found is, you know, read the Bible, get you a concordance so that you can define the words, so that you actually understand what words are written there, defined through what the words mean in the Greek and whatever, and just take some time to read it yourself. And above all, just trust the Lord to lead you through the process. And I still, I mean, even reading those definitions, or I looked it up just as you mentioned it, I flipped it up online to read it. And even though I didn't even read many of the definitions or much of the definitions, I can tell you right now, I mean, you're going into unconditional eternal security and this sort of thing. And so the problem is, it's like everything else, especially in this information age, you get locked in to a narrative. You know, look at these 5 points. This is what we believe. This is the authority of the church. This is what we have discovered all for the last 2,000 years, because our roots go all the way back to John the Baptist. So we have authority in this and such, and blah, 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 blah. And you listen to all that crap. And then you finally just say, you know what? There's only one that knows what this word really means and how it's applied. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to make sure that we get the plan, get it right. And so I can't elaborate on the actual tulips and all this sort of thing, but I do know one thing. All those philosophies are going to burn, and only the stuff that the Holy Spirit put in there is going to stay. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
I agree with you completely, Pat. I just think the thing that I was trying to, I'm not agreeing with all of them, and I'm not just, you know, I don't, like you're saying, we believe this, I don't believe this, but what I wanted to understand was, when they say total depravity, and this is what they mean by it, what does the Bible really say about it? And are they on point or not on point? I guess I need to read through each one and just pray about it and ask for, you know, the truth to be shown to me through the scriptures on each of those points. Obviously, the perseverance of the saints is one we talk about often. I guess I'll just go through each one and read it and try to make sure I understand what I feel the Bible says about it.
Amen. David's got a book out called, Predestination, something or other. Good book. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to share a quick praise report. I went for a walk with little Gabe to try to get him to calm down and rest. He's been a little fussy. And I came back home, and we went into our home through the garage, and Theo's big bike fell off its rack. I don't know how it missed us. And it's never fallen off a rack. It was very, very odd. And I just had this feeling that thing was aiming for me in the stroller. And just by the grace of God, I was able to just tug the stroller out of the way as I kind of watched it come down. You know, this thing's huge, and it's heavy, and it's never fallen off the ceiling rack that it hangs on. So all glory to God. And we come against this attack from the enemy, we don't receive it, and he's got nothing on us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for your protection.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for your angels all around about us, Lord. Amen. All right, go ahead, David.
You know, I'm just looking at the 5 points of Calvinism. I've looked at them a little bit before, And sometimes I think what happens is the religions, they grab some of this stuff and they kind of move it around a little bit. And it becomes kind of muddy. Initially, when Calvin was writing this stuff, he wasn't trying to create a religion out of that. Because I think David will even say he's got things that are there that aren't not true, in the sense that he wasn't trying to promote unconditional eternal security. He was trying to promote there is an election of saints, which Luther also promoted. It's in scripture. There's an election. And that's what he was talking about. People have a hard time with that, with God choosing who he chooses to come into the kingdom. So that's what he was basically saying. There is an elect. And the elect will come into the kingdom. And then the others will not. You know, there's called and the elect. And that's basically what he's trying to explain here. But others kind of took and ran with it, you know, one way or the other. However, they took what the way Calvin was saying and made it something that it wasn't sometimes. If you go back to the original writings, what he says, and just go with that and don't try to go beyond it, sometimes you'll see that all he's talking about is election. He's not trying to create unconditional eternal security. But that's what came out of some of this. So that's the danger of this. I mean, you start looking at this stuff, you can get drugged down in all this theory and theology. And you just stay with the scriptures, just sometimes it's a little easier. And David does a good job with some of the books. He makes it kind of simple and stays with it. So predestined called and elect is good, you know. It can really get confusing if you start reading some of this stuff, especially if people are commenting on Calvin. Now you got to comment on his comment. So it gets even harder to understand. You know? So that's what happens. So that's just what I'm going to say about it.
So he may have. Yeah. I never could get into John Calvin. That just didn't interest me. I'm glad y'all have. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
For me, anyway. That was all for me. Thanks, everybody, for your input. That was very helpful.
Oh, my.
Oh, actually, there is one more thing. Sorry. I just wanted to share a praise report, I guess, a blessing. My mom this morning woke up and sent me 50 blessings from the Lord on your birthday. So there were 50 blessings out of the Bible because today's my birthday. So she wanted to bless me on my birthday, though she doesn't understand about Christ, but she sent me 50 blessings from the Bible on my birthday. So it was very thoughtful of her, and that she was thinking of Christ and how important it is to me. So praise the Lord for that. Yep, the big 5-5 this year. I'm more than halfway done now.
Big double nickel, huh?
Thank you.
Double grace. All right, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, in all my churchianity that I was in, and you know, there hasn't really never been a study done on marriage. Not just the marriage between a man and a woman, some of the rules there, but marriage, what it means spiritually. I went to the churches, and you know, that even some of the leaders were saying to me, Andrew, you know, there's divorce in the church. And that's really not speaking the sweet water. It's it's kind of bitter to say that. It's not speaking the blessing, it's speaking the curse. And, you know, they I don't know whether these leaders don't want to do it or don't know how to do it, or, you know, there is so much on it. You know, you can think of some of the places there, Ephesians chapter 5, and you can even maybe collate that with when it says a little bit in chapter 2 there. And, you know, there's, you know, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You know, there's so much there that that you could just think of offhand that, you know, and of course, a lot of the church thinks they're the bride, you know, and it's just a real intensive law there. And I've never heard anyone talk about it. I've heard it mostly talk about here at UVM, but not like a big study about it or anything. You know, might be in one of the chapters that I saw on God where it's explained pretty much, but I've never really heard anyone do a study on it. Maybe that's why the North America is in such a big divorce rate. And anyway, it's kind of sad that they won't teach on it. And, you know, like most places before you get married, they try to do a marriage course too nowadays. It's just weird. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that, maybe a study we might be able to do in the future or something.
Okay, I'll put it on the list. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I might even put my hand up to do something of that ilk somewhere down the track. But I can let you know, Andrew, it is a massive, massive, massive thing in Scripture. We could not hope to cover it in one teaching, the whole marriage thing. It's just the allusions and the things that I've seen in Scripture are just overwhelming. But anyway, I'll go off on a tangent. I'll start doing the teaching. I don't mean to do that, but it is a boggling subject, and it's incredibly, incredibly wonderful. I'm wondering. Illustration. Okay, I'll give an illustration. I was reading a very brief post about the thing that Jesus said when he said, as we've got translated, "It is finished," or in the Greek, or something like "Tetelestai," or something like that. But in Aramaic, I don't get to pronounce it, it's something like kalah, kalor, something like that, which it seems that even in that moment, Jesus was, he had all sorts of double meanings, because the word in Hebrew, most certainly, and with that sound, is it's finished. It's a very final type word. And, you know, I was browsing through Strong's just this morning, earlier this morning, on this, and it is a word in Hebrew that means this is the end of that. It's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. And it's throughout the Old Testament. But it was a cry of a, also of a groom, when everything to do with taking a wife and being married, and it was completely consummated, that, you know, that was meaning that which, you know, given what Jesus did on the cross, it has that overlay, and the two words, when you take out the punctuation that was added to the Hebrew language in about 1100 or so, i.e. the way Scripture was originally written, and even the Dead Sea Scrolls, is exactly the same. The finish and what was the other part of it? The word bride, that was the other thing. Anyway, as I say, it's a massive, massive, massive subject.
Amen. Go ahead, Patrick.
So this may be connected, but I don't know. I have a question about, Revelation 12, the birth of the man child. And this, of course, we all know this scripture, a great sign seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon these his heads were 7 diadems. His tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her man child, her child. She was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God, unto God, and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may be nourished. They may nourish her 1,260 days. Now, I'm clear on, obviously, the man-child that is birthed from the woman, that man-child who is in this day and age, that group, that entity, or that body of believers that have entered into that secret place of the Most High and have Jesus dwelling within them, etc. I'll just leave it at that point. Is the woman referred to here? Is she the bride? Because she flees into the wilderness to be, I'm assuming, taught by the man-child. But is she the bride here, or is she the whole church, so to speak, the apostate system that finally cast out this man-child and got it out of her midst? Or I'm a little bit unclear as to this, because I'm thinking of, in terms of the parable taught us in Esther, of the bride coming into ministering unto the king, etc., and that whole process. Am I mixing up parables, or is this woman in Revelation 12 here, is she the bride?
Yes, the man child comes out of the bride. David teaches that in Hidden Manna.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was with child. The bride comes out. They are maturing while in the bride, and then they mature when it is birthed. And then the great red dragon tries to kill him. He's done it before. Remember when Jesus was born, they tried to kill all the 2-year-olds and below at that time. And of course now they've got this abortion going on. It's trying to kill the man child. So we've got some parallels, yeah. the man child, when the man child goes up to heaven at the anointing at the throne, when he goes to the throne, he comes back and leads the bride into the wilderness at that time. These stars that are thrown down is the star glory, people that are that's lost their salvation because of whatever reason. David does that real good job of that in Luke 1. That's good. Thank you, Angelica. And it was he does that in when he talks about the man child and the bride. He's got a book called Man Child and the Bride Prophecy.
It's in there.
Yeah. Well, I would think so. It's been a while since I read it, but I would think it is, yeah.
So I'm looking at verse 16, this is after the women went into the wilderness and the earth helped. The serpent cast out his mouth after the woman, water as a river that he might cause her to be carried away with the stream, etc. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth swallowed up the river. And then it says in 17, and the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that kept the commandments of God. Is that the apostate system there that we're talking about? Is that a description of the?
Well, it couldn't be, because it says that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah. So what are we talking about there?
No, the dragon can't destroy. Good, Angelica. The dragon could not destroy the dragon. I mean, the man child. He can't do that.
In verse 16, it says,
yep.
And the earth helped the woman. And I believe it's referring to the woman, which is the bride. Mm-hmm. Which went into the wilderness that the man child was teaching. But then it says that this dragon couldn't get the woman and it made him mad. So he went away to make war with the rest of her seed. Who is the rest of her seed that he went away to make war with? Because it says the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus.
Well, anybody, go ahead, David. I'll let you do this.
Put me out of my misery, Dave.
You're good. You're on track, and you've seen exactly what's happening, and it's you're very descriptive. It's true. Well, one of the things David helped with me on some of this was I didn't know how the earth helped the woman because it swallowed this water. Well, it swallowed deception. The rest of the world is going to follow the after Satan. They're going to follow the deception, all the lies, and Satan's going to be tossing out. So that's how it helps the woman, because the world swallows it, but she doesn't. That's what the water represents. It's a overflowing, spilling of Satan's everything he's coming at the world with. The world swallows it, those that aren't saved. Now, her seed doesn't swallow it, and her seed is when the woman goes out in the wilderness, that she's not just there for herself. There's others that are going with her out in the wilderness that are going to be brought up into the kingdom at that point. They're all coming into that 1,600-fold fruit, 3,600. They're growing, they're learning. That's the time of the tribulation, is where we're all growing in the Word of God and getting close to the Lord, and getting our fruits increasing, right? Where we're coming more and more like Jesus. Well, after that first 3.5 years, then the women have been tried and tribulated up to that point. Well, God still tests. You have to be tested. And that's what Satan's going to be doing, is testing or persecuting her seed, the ones that have been brought up into the kingdom and the wilderness. So now they have to go through the same trial and test that the woman went through. It's just part of the procedure that happens. And, you know, everybody has to be tried and tested to see whether or not you're going to hold on to the word or you're going to dump it. So,
yeah.
So these are the disciples. The disciples of the bride?
Yep, exactly. And the man child and everybody else during that time, that period. And they also, they raise up more apostles and teachers and prophets and pastors during that time. And they go out. And again, they're going to be persecuted along with, you know, that's her seed. So.
There's a physical characteristic of this that David talks about also. And I won't go into it right now, but if you know the history of this area here, the enemy is going to try to do away with it. And God will supernaturally preserve it in a way that, just like he's talking about here. But anyway, yeah, Dave.
I'm kind of wondering, too, you know, David was just talking about this alien thing that's going to be brought out and flying saucers and everybody kind of people buy into that, you know. This could be some of that stuff, the dragon's spilling out and the world's going to swallow it, but the bride's not going to, or her seed's not going to, you know, the ones that are, they said the delusion would be so strong, maybe even the elect could be, you know, deceived, but they're not. This could be part of that deception we're seeing going out, spilling out of the dragon's mouth.
Yeah. I can tell you this much, the people that are involved in this, quantitative financial thing, a lot of them are New Age people, if not most of them. And yeah, you're right. They'll go along with the Christians up until it's time to come against them. And they believe in the aliens. They believe in these all this stuff, you know. They've had interaction with them. Some of them are soul travelers. They do all that stuff. But as you said, it's going to be a strong delusion. And it has been for the government. The government has been working with, if you've read any of that stuff, you know, been working with the demonic forces, not knowing that that's what it is. What's interesting, I read the story of one guy that was that his dad worked in Area 51, and as a child, he would go out there time travel, not time travel, but some kind of travel, and he'd go from Washington, D.C. into Area 51 in just a few minutes. And but what he said was this, he said, you had to sign a disclosure of some sort that you wouldn't talk about the Bible, you wouldn't speak anything about the Bible at all. And they upheld that, because if you took that Bible down there, they'd have to flee. They couldn't talk with them anymore. Anyway, it's strange stuff. We don't worry about that stuff because we know our God. We have the authority over all of those things. That's right. You couldn't say the name of Jesus. You said the name of Jesus, he was out of there. And from what we understand, they have the elite have had access to anti-gravity machines to travel for many years now. I don't know. I've never seen a flying saucer. Read about them, but that's about it. I wouldn't mind taking a ride in one of them. It's like fun to me. I don't want no alien taking me, though. I just said somebody knows how to drive that thing. It's got flesh and blood taking me. I'm just saying. Okay. Yeah, it depends on who's driving. You're right, brother. But anyway, this is interesting times that we're in. If y'all can't see that we're at this end time, whoo, man, something wrong. Yeah, I hear you, Pat. Go ahead, Vanita. Do you want to ride one too?
Oh, yeah. I'll go for a ride.
Okay.
Good moon and back.
Yeah.
I just wanted to address Pat's comment about Esther, and I'm just relaying what David was teaching. So I'm not wanting to teach anything.
For sure.
So Esther is when they call in all the virgins into the harem. There's a large group of women there. And Esther is chosen as the bride, so she's separated from the other women. And I think that's what that would be like the church, and then the bride is separate from the church. She wears a special lampros gown. She's dressed in a bright white gown, I'm not exactly saying the right words, but you get the idea. She's separate from the rest of the church. And she follows Mordecai, who represents Christ, the man child. She follows his direction and his words, but she's the bride that comes out of the harem of women, which represents the church. That's what I understood.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
So I understand that Esther is the bride. Mordecai is the man child. And the bride is what relationship to the beast or to the king? There, the king was the king of Babylon, or you know, the Assyrian beast or whatever. So is there a relationship that there's communication between the man child and the bride in this particular situation?
Well, I think Ahasuerus represents the father. The king, he's the king. He represents the father. And Haman represents the beast. So she's listening to Mordecai, the man child, and
getting her instructions from him.
Right. Right. I was just trying to relate how she's communicating with the father. The father has chosen her. She is the bride chosen out of all the virgins, who is to wear the bright white gown. I mean, the bright gown, not the white gown, which all the other virgins wear. But the king chooses her to be among the first fruits. What I understand is the man child is different, is separate, is the first fruits, and it's a corporate body of people that represent, that come out first, come out of the woman, come out of the church first, and they are, that's the man child, and they're the first fruits like Christ was, and they teach the bride, and then later on, the rest of the people come out of the apostate church and join into the body of Christ.
That's the rest of the people.
It It's interesting.
The ones that are 30 and 60 fold. That's the rest of the people.
It's also interesting is that when Esther, you know, they come against the father destroys Haman, but the law is still in effect, which requires the people of God, or a new law is written that requires the people of God to go out and destroy their enemies, which is where that, what is the Feast of Purim or the, or whatever it is there, all comes from. But there is a, and I think the parallel is that in these, this day and age, it's going to have to be a transition in the church or in the people of God to rise up out of passivity, and by the word of God, send forth and do battle in this time that we're in. And so I think there's some sort of, I just think it's the analogy is there's going to have to be a release from passivity and moving into a proactive attack, not with guns, but with the word of God, etc., in this day and age to take down this beast. But anyway.
Yeah, the only other parallel, Pat, that I would say that David talks about a lot is the first 3.5 years are like the book of, are like the Gospels, where Christ is the first fruits. He has his disciples, which represent the bride, and then the rest of the people come in that are taught by the disciples, and they, the disciples make more disciples. But so in the same way, there'll be a first fruits in the end times that are like Christ, that represent Christ, well, that are the first fruits, the man child, and the man child will call forth a bride, which would be like the disciples, and then they will make more disciples. The two witnesses will go out just like they did in the Gospels. And then the last 3.5 years is like the book of Acts, where there's more persecution of the saints. So that there's a lot, he talks a lot about that parallel.
Well, at the mid, go ahead, Claire. How you doing, girl?
I'm well, thank you. I actually don't have anything to add here. I wanted to share a testimony, but I can do it later.
Go ahead. We'd like to hear it.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. On Sunday, I was driving alone. I had about a 2-hour journey to get home, and we had put on some new wiper blades, but they had not really been tested yet. So it's the rainy season. And I drove about 30 minutes and I could not see. These wiper blades were like, they were done. They were falling off. It was ridiculous. And I still had, yeah, so long to travel. And I knew, well, I didn't know, but the weather forecast had said that there's going to be rain all the way. So I pulled in at the gas station to fill up the fuel, and I said to the Lord, I'd had like a really faith-building weekend and stuff, and I just said to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and I know that this is not a problem for you, so I'm not going to ask that you fix the wiper blades, because that was a bit of a stretch for my faith, because I could see that they were falling apart. I said, but can you please not let it rain till I get home, which is laughable if you know where I live in a rainforest. Like, that is hilarious to even consider to ask. And I just, and then I said to him, okay, I'm going to do it now. And I commanded it in the name of Jesus. I said, there will be no rain in the name of Jesus until I get home. And I texted Rian and I said, pray that it, agree with me and pray that it won't rain, for the rain to stop. And I went and paid for the fuel, got in the car, and it was belting down that I couldn't, and the wipers weren't working, and there was a truck coming. And I'm like, this is not what I prayed. I rebuke this. And it stopped. There was not a drop on my car until I got home. An hour and 40 minutes in the rain, well, in perfect conditions. There wasn't even a mist that I could see perfectly. It was so faith building and so real, and I'm so grateful. And I just wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for stopping the rain in the rainforest. Glory to God, Lord of God. Lord, you are so awesome. Okay. Yeah.
An update is that Rian then put the old wipers on, and I was traversing around yesterday with less than perfect weather, but all was good. And those wipers were working 100%. So I feel like, you know, it's a win-win. Everything's just working out. The Lord is good to us.
Okay, Rian. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Any other questions on the man child, Brian? We got just a few minutes left. Or anything else? Anybody wants to pray? I do. Lord, I just thank you for bringing the man child ministry on. We certainly really need his wisdom, and we need his expertise. We thank you, Father, for getting that man child anointed, coming into the manifestation. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We sure need him. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, we're looking for the man child, and we're going to be hopefully spotting him when we see him, right? We're looking for Jesus coming out and somebody as a anointed teacher. But that brings the question, will we know the bride?
You will know. Listen, everybody that wants to be in the bride, you have faith for that. That's what you do. You just believe that you're going to be in the bride. That's how we do everything. That's the men, people that want to be a man child, the men that want to be man child. You just believe by faith that you're going to be in the man child ministry. That's what God always, always does. He wants you to have faith to believe that you're going to be in the man child. You're going to have faith to believe you're going to be in the bride. And that's how we do it. And as far as knowing, you're going to know. You'll know. Everybody will. When I say everybody, all of God's elect will know. Go ahead, Andrew. I guess you were first. No, I missed it. Okay. You're pointing toward Julie.
Missy was first.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
I'd like some prayer. The last like 2-3 nights, it's been hard for me to get to sleep, and just been like just restless, just not, I don't know what it is. And I started praying, you know, every night, you know, just with Merle first, you know, for good sleep, you know, just as a regular thing, not that we haven't having problem, not me, it's more for Merle, because he usually has had a issue with sleep. But so I like prayer for that. I don't know.
Okay, understand
what it is, but
never mind what it is called. We're gonna pray the prayer of faith. God's gonna get you and everybody that needs it in this group right here and listening. In the name of Jesus, we command sleep to be upon them when sleep is needed, and to wake up supernaturally supercharged in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the sleep is going to, ever how long it is, makes no difference, because you're going to give them enough energy to make it through the day, more than enough. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that sleep is coming to everybody here that wants it. And not only that, it's going to be good sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for getting everybody up in the morning when they need to get in the word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Amen. We just come against all interference of the enemy of sleeplessness, insomnia, amen, restlessness, distractions, and anything that the enemy is trying to put on, all witchcraft coming against this group. In the name of Jesus, we forbid your evil. We don't accept it. And we thank you, Lord, for giving your beloved sleep. We thank you, Lord, for good dreams. Bless your dreamers. And we're all going to wake up refreshed and revived, just like little Max was this morning. We're going to greet the day and say, get up. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Who was it had the hand up? Is that you, Andrew? Ben, okay.
Okay. It's just a question about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was, Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John. These characters, are they all the bride as a parallel for the future? Or are, like, would Jesus represent the man-child of the future in this Mount of Transfiguration, and they're all having a mountain experience here? And these two witnesses, do they go through a mountain experience? The ones who come after the 6 days there, because that's what it says in the very next verse. And after 6 days, you know, so it would be on the morning of the seventh day, so. I just want to know how those I don't have the verse before me. I'm just asking plainly. These on the Mount of Transfiguration, is Jesus the representation? Could this be a representation of the future man-child and, yes, and the bride, as all the other five candidates? And by the way, there was more than just Jesus, the two guys there, the two witnesses, and Peter, James, and John, because God the Father showed up on that mountain too. So I haven't heard that said yet, because he came as a cloud and he was there too. So there were the eight that was there.
Seven. Well, I'll answer one part of it. Okay. Seven. I'll answer one. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'll answer one part of it. Jesus represented the man-child at the anointing. The second anointing, I believe is right.
So, like, is the other five people going to be the bride? That's a question. As a representation of the bride.
I really don't remember. I don't remember what how David did that. Is anybody in here? Yeah, Marilyn.
This may be totally off base, but, you know, I'm just kind of thinking,
Moses represented the law, and at that time that was the word, and Elijah, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Jesus, there is Jesus, the love of God. I'm just, you know, I think about this a lot, about what is truth. It's Jesus. The Spirit of Christ in us. And Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And I was thinking more in terms of maybe the apostles being the bride, but Elijah and Moses being representative of the Holy Spirit and Christ, the Word made flesh. But I could be totally wrong, and I'm not trying to teach her anything, just some thoughts that came to me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we are out of time. Just in time. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody got a prayer request before we close out? Yes, Pat?
I just like prayer for my back, to realign my back, eliminate any and all numbness or anything like that.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you heard Pat. We command his back to line up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We command that pain to go out of it. I don't care what you call yourself. You got to go in Jesus' name. We command his back from his neck all the way down to be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he is, you have, and he will. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimony Thursday night from Pat. We praise you for it, Father. We command that back right now to be healed. And he's going to get a good night's sleep because of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promises for Pat. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, I just have prayer. Sometimes I, you know, y'all prayed for good sleep. I wanted to say something. I want to profess my faith. That way I can see these things happen and ask for prayer. But I get these, I get a lot of dreams, and sometimes I don't remember them. And I try to wake up and write them down. And sometimes I'm not sure if I wake up at all if I thought I wrote them down. I kind of had that instance last night. But I know since y'all been talking about Revelations, I've had two dreams where David is actually reading Revelations, and I was just listening and watching it happen. But I want to remember more of that one. And then I had a dream last night. I'm not trying to go and explain these dreams. I'm just saying. Then I had a dream last night that you being body, and I seen you, Michael, and David, and a bunch of other people. We were in the wilderness during the Revelations, and it was actually really awesome. We were by like a river. Anyways, but I can only remember bits and pieces. And I'm just asking prayer that I can really wake up and write these things down, because I don't want to forget these awesome things the Lord's showing me. And I don't want to be lazy and just fall back to sleep and then forget it. So pray for me, please.
Okay, yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these dreams that you give Isaac that are really important, most important, and I believe all of them that you give him are important, or he wouldn't be giving them. You wouldn't be giving them to him. And I thank you, Father, for waking him up. Not only waking him up, but give him full memory of the dream. And Lord, we thank you for the good testimony because of it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Isaac. And anyone else here that needs that, we just pray, Lord, that everybody, all the dreamers, remember every detail about their dreams and be able to write it all down. And we thank you for it, Father. And when they forget, Lord, give them the wherewithal to reverse the tape and go back over it again. in Jesus' name. Now, I know some people that can do that, that have done that, and I thank you for it. Father Sandy was one of them. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all receive that? Amen. Okay. Well, there's a lot of people had their hand up just a minute ago. What happened? All of you's wanting that prayer, right? Thank you, Lord. Okay, good deal. It's done. All right, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to give prayer for my wife and I, because next week we'll be moving to Tennessee, finally. And there's been a lot of, there's been a lot of, I guess we've gone through a lot of trials throughout this whole process. And, you know, the enemy has kind of like worn us down in a lot of ways. And, you know, we just are looking for the Lord to strengthen and encourage us. And just for, you know, this to be a smooth transition. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for doing that for Matt and Carl. We thank you, Father, that they are going to have no problems. It's going to be a smooth move. Everything's going to be in place. And it's just going to be an awesome experience for them. And we praise you for doing that, Lord, for Matt and his family, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Matt to us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're looking forward to it, Matt.
Amen. I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right, brother. Okay. Anybody else? Well, Lord, thank you for giving everybody a good night's sleep tonight. And Lord, let us always have you on our mind and our lips, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Good night, y'all. See y'all. Oh, wait a minute. Edwin, are you in here?